Good to see everybody back this evening. Hope you've had a good day today. Good to see Tristan again. I told him if I'd have known he was going to be here tonight, he probably would have been preaching tonight. But appreciate the good lesson he brought this morning. Tristan and I have so much in common. We're both young and good-looking and sharp dressers. You know, I don't know if it hurts more to see Tristan laughing at that or Carolyn laughing at that, but that just... Good to have our visitors. Good to have Emma here. Good to have Emmy here. And good to have just each one of you who are always so faithful in coming. We really do have a wonderful family here, and we're very blessed. We're about to say goodbye to part of our family for a little bit. Both Janet and Van are about to head back to South Dakota. And she has a bittersweet smile because she knows she's not going to see this group of grandchildren, but she's going to see other grandchildren, and so she is looking forward to that. We will miss you, Janet and Van. Tell Van that as well. But we've enjoyed our time with them. If you have your Bibles and would like to be turning over, I'll be starting in Romans chapter 14. And I want to talk about several different ways that we need to, or several different characteristics of the Scripture and the way we handle them that we need to be aware of. Because there are some things within Scripture that they're sometimes difficult to understand. There are some ways that we handle Scripture that are going to be matters of opinion. And then there are going to be other things in Scripture that are direct commands that they're a matter of fact. And so when we talk about opinion or preference, it's really not that important to anybody except to you and to those who are in your immediate circle of influence. It's like your favorite team or your favorite color. Maybe you have a favorite Scripture. Maybe you like to see people dressed in a certain way when they come to worship. There are different things and different levels of opinion and all, but again, they're still going to be a matter of personal preference, not a sin to have different opinions on these types of things. There are other things that are going to be a matter of experience. From a physical standpoint, we can see that really quickly, where there is room for difference of opinion, but some people's opinion is a little bit better than others. If you were to take the idea between gentle breaking a horse or rough breaking a horse, you'd have your ideas on that. If you talk to Zach and to Max, you'd probably get some ideas that, and Kyla, you'd probably get some ideas that were a little more experience oriented, and therefore their opinion should carry more weight in those areas. But so there are areas also within the Scripture and within different things that we've had in our lives that are going to be matters of judgment, and yet for us, there's probably going to be a preferable way to handle it, even in God's eyes, as far as whether it's pleasing to God or not. But then there are those areas of Scripture that are just a matter of fact. These are unchangeable no matter what you think about them. They are the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots. An example in the physical world would be fire. You might hold the opinion that if you stick your hand in the fire, it's not going to burn you, but you're going to be burned because it's a fact that fire will burn you, and it'll burn you every time, no matter how strongly held your opinion is. And so in the areas of fact, your opinion, while it will matter as far as how you approach that fact, it does not change the fact. And it's very important for us to make sure as we read the Scriptures that we're aware of that. When God says something, it is just not for debate when he issues commands. There's another thing that I think we really need to be thinking about when it comes to the way we approach the Bible, and that's this attitude of you have your opinion and I have my opinion, and one opinion's as good as the other. And again, for the areas that are truly matters of opinion, I wouldn't disagree with that. But for the established facts of Scripture, the commandments, that's not going to hold. But let's look at the disputable areas, the matters that are acceptable for us to have opinions in. Romans chapter 14, in verse 1, the English Standard Version says, "As for the one who is weak in the faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions." There will be people that come in that are weaker in the faith. They're not as acquainted with the Scripture, and they may have some opinions that are a little bit out there, and we might want to kind of humor them, I suppose, at first. That might be our first inclination, but if they come in and if they're divisive with that, we can't permit that. That's not something that we need to be doing. And so we do welcome those who are weak in the faith, and hopefully we help those who are weak in the faith, but not in the area where we're going to be quarreling over opinions. The New King James Version says not to dispute over doubtful things. The New American Standard says not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. That kind of gives a different direction where somebody comes in, has different opinions on things that are not settled within Scripture. We don't need to be judging him. We need to give him or her room to grow. And as they study the Scripture, they're going to grow. And again, we have certain areas of opinion where somebody with a greater deal of experience might have a much better, their opinion might should carry more weight. But again, when we talk about a weaker brother, a weaker sister, the ideas and the areas of opinions, let them have their opinion. You have your opinion. Let's not argue over them or cause division. Let me just read the first four verses of that. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything. Another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. Here's another important factor. We can have different opinions, and your opinion may be strong, but you're not to look down on somebody with a different opinion. And again, we're not talking about settled matters of Scripture. We are talking about areas that is not clearly stated as far as a preference by God in different areas. The man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. And then this idea, who are you to judge someone else's servant? I always try and keep that in mind when I'm especially if I'm involved in a Bible study and somebody is coming up to the area of God's plan of salvation. And so often when you're studying with somebody who's looking at that in the first place, it's very likely that they were raised in such a way where they believed something different than what the Bible teaches on the plan of salvation. So sometimes they will get very offended, and they'll say, "So are you telling me my grandmother is lost? Are you telling me that sweet woman is lost?" And my answer is, not my place. We have not been given the opportunity to judge. And we don't even go back for those whose time has already passed in this world and speculate one way or another. We certainly have our thoughts, and especially when it's our own family and with friends that we have who have passed. And there's nothing wrong with that. If nothing else, maybe it will allow us to help to avoid a situation where somebody else is in danger. But if somebody ever asks you about somebody who has passed, so you think they're lost, we don't have that right. Who are we to judge someone else's servant? I will say this, God will judge. And His Word has already judged when it comes to those things that are settled. And we don't need to waver on those things. We don't need to back off of people who are talking about something that is clearly wrong. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. We do need to have a little diplomacy. We certainly need to have love. But we're not allowed to back off of the factual things or the absolute commandments within Scripture. And there's one last thing as far as this area of opinions. We're to be keeping our eye out for those who are going to cause dissension with opinions. And there are people who do that. There are people who want to argue over words like a lawyer. It's almost like a habit to them. There are people who seem to take great joy in controversy. That's not something we need to get involved with. And we actually need to be cautious about that. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing some of his concluding remarks, in the middle of that, it's a very important doctrine that we need to consider. Romans 16, verse 17, I urge you, brothers, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching you learned, and turn away from them. If we've got somebody who's causing dissension, either on settled doctrinal matters or they're just stirring things up with opinion, we're to turn away from them. Not without warning them and not without encouraging them in love to stop being dissentious or contentious. But that's a command. Let me read it again. Keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. Now let's go to this area of the plainly stated, and that certainly involves doctrine, and especially for us, of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 now in verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, brothers, I've applied these things to myself and Apollos. Both are teachers. Both have helped lead others to Christ. I've applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Some of your versions will talk about not exceeding. But the idea is, leave God's perfect word alone. Don't go beyond. We still are working out our own salvation, are we not? We're still trying to figure out how to apply things to our life. And it's not talking about not trying to figure out how God's word applies in different circumstances. But don't go beyond what's written. It's an absolute command. Anytime we go outside of the gospel, when we are trying to serve God, we really get into trouble. And he points this out. Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. When we go beyond what's written, it's usually because brother so-and-so who impresses us said this, and sister so-and-so who impresses somebody else said this, and we start taking pride. I regard this person higher, I regard this person higher, and we're going beyond what's written, and we're getting involved with these foolish, controversial things that mean nothing. Don't go beyond what's written. It's an important instruction from God. This next part is something that I believe is critical, and that's the understanding that God has made plain the important things. So while there are areas where you can decide if you want to drink a drink with caffeine in it or not, and somebody else may think they shouldn't do that, you can disagree on that. Don't be dissentious about it. But there are things that are absolutely plain. Do we lie? No. Do we commit adultery? No. Do we steal? No. Do we use the Lord's name in vain, in a light or careless fashion, or misrepresent His word? No, we do not. How about those people who say, well, I just don't know if I believe in God or not? You know what? Or I believe that Muhammad was a prophet of God, and so I'm going to follow him. And we might be tempted to just let it go. And so, well, who's to say whether or not? As if we cannot tell on these important areas that involve the way we're to live and that involve a matter of salvation. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 talks about the very idea of whether God exists or not. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. As I look at our public school systems, I'm wondering if they can continue. I really have questions as to whether they can continue or not, because one of the tenets, one of the foundational precepts of our public schools right now are that there is no God, or if there is a God, it is unimportant to the education of our kids. And they will teach things that are absolutely contrary to God and to God's principles. I don't know how much longer we can take part in a system like that. It's become evil. And a lot of people, the reason they do that is because they say, well, we're not going to teach areas of faith. This is an area of fact. They teach evolution. If you want to talk about a theory that involves faith beyond facts, it's evolution. You have to disregard factual matters in order to believe in evolution. And it's a shocking thing. But that was kind of the shoehorn into getting rid of God from the schools, and they have done that. We really do need to be careful and understand that a person who does not believe in God is without excuse. We don't need to be giving them a pass. And God will not give them a pass. And that, he says very clear, what can be known about God? Talking about His power, His love, His orderly creation. Everything that we look at in the creation screams that there is a loving God. And anybody that concludes different, well, in our physical world, we may say, well, that's fine. You can have your opinion on that. But God is not going to say that. He says they're without excuse. And so when we come to factual areas, there can be no dispute on that that is acceptable. And we need to take a stand. Does it need to be loving? You bet, but it needs to be firm. And then this, the ideas of the things that are commanded. John chapter 15. This is after they've had the Last Supper, and Jesus is talking to His followers, and He's pointing out to them that they're going to be persecuted. There are going to be some people that will reject Christ, and therefore they will reject His followers. And so there's a couple of points that He makes about His spoken word. He starts off by telling the 11 apostles who are remaining, "Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they'll obey yours also. They will treat you in this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. Because Jesus has spoken, He has indicated what is right and what is wrong and what He requires. Everybody who does not accept that, even those who just don't come in contact with it because they choose not to, it doesn't matter. They will have no excuse for their sin, is what Christ said. Now, let me say this as well about people who are ignorant about the things of God. Ignorance is not always wrong and inexcusable. I'm ignorant about brain surgery, so don't ask me to do brain surgery on you. If you have a cat that needs work, I'll give it a shot. But the idea is that an ignorance in an area that's not a matter that's important to you is okay. Ignorance when it comes to God's word and God's way is inexcusable, and we cannot have that. We're going to be judged for that. And so those who have the attitude of saying, I don't know, and I don't want to know. Heard that in a million different places. And there's a lot of people who don't know something on a physical area, and that's fine. They don't want to know about that, that's fine. Does that mean that they won't suffer for it? Well, they might. You're driving down the interstate and you don't know what the speed limit is, and you furthermore, you don't care what it is. You don't know, and you don't, well, you're going to find out eventually if you're not going in the right way. People who don't care to find out what you can know about God are not only taking a chance with their eternity, but they're taking a chance with the eternity of those whom they influence and those whom they have authority over. The idea of I don't know and I don't want to know is the position of a fool. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 2, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Shirley did appreciate the lesson that was brought this morning, both from during our worship service and during our Bible class. There's, when you have a lesson that is brought from the Scripture, there is a solidness to it. There's a safety, a measure of safety to it. A fool delights in airing his own opinions. A lot of people will just get up and they will just talk about what they think about God. And sometimes because they are persuasive people or charismatic people or whatever, that can mislead people. And there is nobody greater than a fool who likes to hear what their opinion is. And so we have to be really careful with that. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding. They just want to talk about what they think. And along those lines, we have to be very careful not to put our thoughts on the same level as God's. Isaiah chapter 55 in verse 6. So seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. And look at this part. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Anytime we put our opinion over God's, we are taking the route of the fool. I was talking to one of our men just the other day, and he was talking about someone who came in and wanted to put forth this idea that homosexuality is not only okay, but we need to be sensitive to it. It's a very popular teaching right now. We see it all the time. And we see it from people who are scripturally defined. I'm not pointing my finger on an individual basis now. I'm talking about the action is scripturally defined as the action of a fool. A fool is somebody who is no longer or has never been in a covenant relationship with God. A fool is somebody who is either lost or who is in extreme danger of being lost. And for those who have thoughts that are not God's thoughts, who don't rely on God's word, they're lost. And we don't need to put up with that. And this is where I think wisdom is required. I'm not going to go to a bar in Amarillo and preach to them against drinking. If I have a friend that's drinking or taking drugs or getting involved in some other type of immoral activity, I'm going to talk to him about it. when I have an appropriate time to talk to him about it. If I have somebody come up to me that this fool that delights in airing their opinions and tells me how I need to treat people who are sinning, it just depends on the situation as to whether I'm going to take a stand or not. If I'm not going to do any good, I might just let it go. But I don't mind telling people I don't accept what you have, and I don't accept the idea that somehow your bigotry is superior to my bigotry. And let me tell you what I mean by that. A bigot is somebody who looks at somebody else or something else as inferior. When somebody comes up to you and tells you if you don't accept a certain type of sin, you're a bigot, but they are talking to you as a Christian, and they will not accept a Christian's right to accept God's word on the matter, they are a bigot. They have an incredible amount of what's the right word on that? But the very idea that they can say that their area of bigotry is superior to yours, I think you have every right to just say this. God has spoken on this too. I know you have your opinion, but I accept God's stance on this, and this is the stance I will take. And if you want to discriminate against me because I'm a Christian and I'm going to accept God's word, you go right ahead and discriminate against me. But don't think for a moment that you're not a hypocrite for suggesting that I need to accept something that you are telling me is against God's word as being true and telling me I don't have a right to believe that. We can take a stand. We can take it in a nice way, but we need to take it in a firm way. There's one last thought on this. That's found in John chapter 14 and verse 23. And it goes back to this idea of wanting to find out what God has to say and what Christ has to say, instead of having the idea of I don't know and I don't want to know. John 14, verse 23. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Verse 24, he who does not love me will not obey. Verse 15, backing up the first few verses, if you love me, you'll obey. When we talk about seeking God's word and what God has settled as far as doctrine, as far as what he will accept, it's not just a matter of an intellectual pursuit. It's a matter of love. If we don't obey God, we don't love him. And again, when Jesus said this, he said, these words you hear, verse 24, are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. When it comes to matters of opinion, we need to be very careful. There's nothing wrong with having opinions. I would suggest that you have enough intellectual presence of mind to have opinion on different things. But don't bind those opinions on other people. If you have something that is a fact from God, a command from God, you need to thoroughly explore it, know what it says, and then stand up for it in love. If you'll do that, you're gonna be a tremendous help to those who might disagree with you. If you don't, you might help pave their road to destruction and maybe your own. Invitation's open. If you're ready to become a Christian tonight, we'd love to help you with that. If you have any other needs, why don't you come forward and let them be known while we stand and sing.